Hello, everyone. My name is Craig, and this is episode 9 of the Creek Hamsters podcast. With me, as usual, we have Jonathan Reynolds. It's Scott. Thank you for that, Jonathan, and Skylar Moore. If you haven't listened to us before now, one, I don't know why you would start.
No, this is Skylar.
Oh. Yeah, that was close.
That was actually Jonathan. And again, he has his shirt off. Jonathan, please stop rubbing your nipples. We don't know why milk comes out. Ask a doctor. To continue, episode 9 is where we're at, and if you haven't seen us before, you should probably start with episode 1. That's pretty normal for most.
Maybe
and,
start with 2 or 3.
Or 2 or 3 after we get our...
I would start with 6 or 7.
We have to get our training wheels off at some point, but maybe 9's the one you really do need to start with. But whatever the case, we
not
bring...
Not with this opening.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wonder why. Mr. Weirdo. Yeah. So
I'm not the one talking about milk coming out of nipples.
Yeah, you're the one doing it. And so there's three topics we
no one is doing that.
Shh, we're talking to the adults now. We bring three topics, each of us bring one, and we just discuss them as three very, very weird friends. And so we're gonna start off with Jonathan because he looks the most excited.
Yep.
So Jonathan, start off topic.
Yeah, normally we talk about this beforehand, but I think we forgot to. We didn't talk about order, so Craig's just gonna wing it, I guess.
Yep.
my topic this week is about ministry. I'm a youth minister. Craig, you are a... what is your title? Do you call yourself a youth minister?
I do.
Okay, so Craig's a youth minister.
The church calls me a janitor, but we agree to disagree.
Okay,
so.
Janitor, youth minister, same thing. And Skylar helps out with small groups in the youth group, and he's been doing that for a while. Do you still do that, Warhol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Skylar helps out with the youth group at his church. So we've all kind of been involved in our youth groups, but my question is this. Is over the past, I don't know when this started, but at some point, churches decided that they needed to hire spiritual specialists, people who are trained to do the job of a minister. And over time, the training of ministers in colleges has become more and more rigorous. And so my question to you all is, how important do you think it all is that a minister is trained on an academic level? How important is it that a minister is trained to be a minister at some college or some school? Is it imperative? Do they have to be trained to be a successful minister, or do they not need to be?
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I'm trying to think of people who are on both sides. I guess you two are a good example, but I'm trying to think of other people. Did Corey get his degree in youth ministry?
Technically, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, he did.
Is there anybody else we know of who... Cleet did.
No, he just has a degree, not in...
Yeah.
In Bible or anything.
Not in Bible, but he's getting his master's in it currently.
What did he go to school for? Business?
I have no idea what he went to school for, actually.
What about Jeremy? Did Jeremy?
I think he did later.
Yeah, his was for, like, hiding things in his belly button. Is that a degree?
Yeah.
He's a champ at it. So, shout out to Jeremy. We're on ball.
What would you say, side question, what is the weirdest thing Jeremy's ever hidden in his belly button?
I've only heard a grape, but then he told me he never found it. And so somewhere in his belly button is now... I would say a raisin, but raisins are made with grapes and sunshine, and I know sunshine doesn't hit that belly button. So it's probably still a grape.
Jeremy should have been on the podcast. Could have defended yourself. Anyway.
He wouldn't have defended himself. He would have agreed. So.
I would say that even outside of youth ministry or ministry at all, the caliber of people is so different, you know. You could have two people that go to school for youth ministry and they come out completely different capability levels. Then one of them might be great at writing papers and at doing some of the experiences, but when they get to the point where they have to work with kids, They just freeze up. Mm-hmm. Curtis is one who went to school for that, and he said that he had terrible stage fright with speaking and stuff, but he was able to get past that. So I think, I don't know, I think that it just depends on the person more than the degree, because some people, like Jeremy's experiences with hard parts of life, made him really valuable to youth ministry and to kids who might also be struggling with some of the things he struggled with.
Sure.
So I'd say both ways, but I don't think that it's like if you don't have the degree, then you can't do ministry. I don't know that that should be true for, I would say, any job, but there are some that I definitely would want schooling for, like doctors.
Do you think that every single person who wants to be a youth minister could benefit in their ministry from going to college?
Maybe not the entire college experience, but maybe conferences or some sort of classes on the side that are focused specifically on kids and their needs and counseling, almost pretty much the psychology side of things.
Yeah. So maybe not the general ed stuff, but that is what the degree is. It's a degree in developmental psychology, systems theory, and exegesis in Bible classes. Yeah. That's what it is. It's those four things, or three things, really.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I lean more towards Vo-Tex than anything else, just because they focus only on the career.
I think that could be good. I don't think that exists for youth ministers right now. That's not really an option. There's no Vo-Tex for youth ministry. You either go and get a degree in ministry in general, or in preaching, or in youth ministry, or to be a missionary, or whatever. But I don't think there's a Vo-Tex. There's Bible schools that you can go to.
Yeah, they are
still typically 2 to 3 years.
Don't they have some for other religions besides Christianity, like Catholics and things like that, where they only go to learn about stuff, and it's not necessarily a school, but it's a big, I don't know.
Just a minor correction. Catholicism is still
Christianity.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
But, yeah, I don't know about that, though, to be fair. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. They could.
I feel like there's a name for something that they go to, but I can't
place it.
Maybe, yeah. That might be
Seminary is a Protestant thing, and we have seminaries, but they're still, like, you go and get a degree type of thing. That's what that is. So
but
they, I could,
do they
I could
focus
technically,
on that?
No, you still get your gen eds there, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I could tell people that I've been, typically when you talk about going to seminary, though, I think that typically is a master's degree. So that's like a 2-year degree, that's like a 2-year thing, but that's master's.
Okay.
So anyway, so it sounds like you're kind of in the middle. You're saying, yeah, it could be beneficial, but it's not necessary.
It's not perfect, yeah. It's a thing, you know. Yeah. Some people might go through all that and still not be able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on the person.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good thought. Okay, Craig, what do you think?
I normally wouldn't ask you to go before me, but in this topic, I kind of want you to go first.
Okay.
I want to know what you think.
My answer is, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think that it's at the level of you have to go to school to be a successful youth minister. I mean, look at the people who Jesus picked to be the founders of the church. He picked the people who didn't go to Bible school to be the founders of the church. So I think to say that you have to go to school to be a successful minister is incorrect and actually unscriptural. However, that being said, I think what influenced me more than anything in my youth ministry was my experiences in interning at various churches and doing that at multiple churches. But I don't think I would be as good of a youth minister as I am currently if I didn't go to school, because it taught me how to analyze scripture. And we were talking about this last night in class, but if you look at Matthew 4, that's when Jesus goes into the desert and he fasts for 40 days. If you look at Matthew 4, what's so interesting is that Satan uses scripture to try and tempt Jesus. And so what's really, really scary is that Scripture, if not used correctly, can be used for bad, terrible means. And if you do not know how to use Scripture in the way that it was intended to be used, I think that you can do more harm than you can good. So one, I think that's really pivotal, and that was really helpful to me, was to learn how to analyze and exegete Scripture so as to use it correctly. The other thing that I think was really, really helpful for me was one specific class that I didn't take, but I taught the class. And so in order to teach the class, I had to read a bunch of stuff. And I taught a class on cybernetics and systems theory, which is just a way of thinking about counseling primarily, but also about thinking about youth groups and churches. And anyway, that's been really helpful in some of the programs I've created for the youth group. It's really taught me how to analyze the problems in the youth group, how to address those problems, what kind of things you have to do to create critical mass, necessary consistency, that type of thing in the youth group. There's a lot more. I mean, people think youth ministers are stupid because typically you see us doing stupid stuff and putting on zebra speedos and jumping into cult pools or whatever and hanging out with teenagers. However, when we're not with teenagers, we're in our offices a lot of times. Like, well, I'm in my office a lot of times with this giant whiteboard trying to map out how things I do are affecting teenagers and figuring all these system stuff out. So that was really valuable to me. And then the third thing that was really valuable was the learning about teenage psychology. Like, my lessons, they can be better, I think, because I know that I need to do certain things to help teach teenagers. I know I need to get the right brain, the right side of the brain involved, get them doing experiential things in order to help teach them. And that's a stupid example because anybody knows that with teenagers. But I also know the development of a teenager and at what point they stop being concrete thinkers and start being able to think in hypothetical and abstract concepts. I know when I'm counseling a teenager. We were training counseling, so I know when I'm counseling a teenager when I need to not counsel them anymore. I know when their problems are too big for me to handle and I just need to say, hey, you do not need to be coming to talk to me. You need to go see a therapist. And that's probably the most valuable thing I learned in my counseling, was when not to handle someone's problem. But anyway, I think that the skills I learned in school are extremely valuable. And so my answer to this question is, I don't think it's necessary to go to school to be an effective minister. As Rick actually said in a lesson at this conference a while back, he said he would take somebody spirit-driven over somebody educated any day. And I think that's true. But I don't think those things are mutually exclusive at all. I think...
And I don't think that's what he was implying when he said that.
No, I don't think so either. I think anybody can benefit from a good education in the Bible, and it can influence their ministry in a positive way. I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's very, very good to do, I guess. The ways I don't think it's good, and sorry, I'm almost done, is that I think by creating this role that we entitled the spiritual specialist, I think one thing that we've done is we have taken away ownership from the rest of the church. And so by having somebody who is so qualified to do that job, it becomes one person doing the job of the church when it should be everybody in the church doing the work of the church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I didn't say that very well, but you probably get the idea. So I think that the negative side of this role we've created and this education we've created is that you have to be a spiritual specialist now in order to take on key roles in the church, which I do not think God is probably very happy with. But I do think it has a ton of benefits. So very long-winded, but that's my opinion.
So the reason I ask you to go first is when you always feel like you need to tell us your topic, although Skyler and I typically don't even tell you till right before, but you texted me yours, and immediately I felt like I had to defend myself through this question, just because I'm on the other side of it. For the listeners, I don't have a college degree. Not only would I say not in Bible, but I'm just saying not at all. I never went to college. And so when I saw that text, something inside of me just was like, why? I need to defend myself. Why is he even asking that? Does he feel like I don't do like a good enough job or something? And I know that's not what he meant. You don't have to say it, Jonathan. But that was my first like gut feeling. So I don't know why that was. Probably because I see the value in the training you can get from college as well. Now, I don't think saying you have a degree makes you any better or wiser or more spiritual. I do think that those Bible classes that you go to can really help you dive into the Word. Maybe not even just because it's at a college and they're making you write papers on it, but because someone who went through the same process as you and was so passionate about it to be a teacher then for Bible, to teach you what they know is valuable. Just like if you were to go to a preacher for 20 years who's just so deep into his faith that you can learn from them. So it's not necessarily that you're writing papers on it. This is how I see it. It's not necessarily that you're having to write papers yourself, but you are listening to someone who has been in their faith probably longer than you've been alive.
Yeah.
And I think there's value in that inside and outside of college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you in the sense that there are some negatives to having someone marked as like the professional in the church.
Yeah.
Because then there's someone who you can just point your finger at them. I've seen it from parents, and I've never been that guy. Thank goodness, because I think there's a lot of stress that comes from being that specialist, quote unquote, where you're supposed to know all the answers. And so since you went to college and you should know all this stuff, that and you're the only one, that the church doesn't take responsibility for a struggle or a negative thing necessarily in the youth group, but instead you're the reason that it happens.
Yeah.
So, what else would I say?
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was just thinking when you said that, you know, I think that the natural conclusion of the spiritual specialist and the role they take is the Catholic Church. And over time, the spiritual specialist became more and more important and more godlike in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's to the extent that for a lot, and I don't mean to generalize Catholic churches, different churches and Catholicism are as different as denominations are in the Church of Christ, but some of the Catholic churches I've been to, the people who are the lay people, the people who go to church, are not expected to know scripture, and they're not expected to pray. That's the ministers who are expected to do the personal spiritual activities and then simply vomit all that onto the lay people once a week. And so I think that's the natural conclusion of the spiritual specialist, is eventually it leads to the lay people doing less and less and less until you get to the point where nobody in the church does anything except for the spiritual specialist. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just said
you're
that
good. But as far as success goes with a youth minister, I think I'm with you on this, that being a intern at all helps you in the long run. Because honestly, you're going to know if you want to even pursue the path of youth ministry for being an intern. I'd say for at least a year even. I think God would talk to you and tell you if that's the path he wants you to go down or not, easily within a year of being an intern. And so not only that, obviously experience. You get to typically follow a youth minister, hopefully one that is leading by a good example, but whatever the case, I think that is a good judge of, one, if you should be in it, and two, if you're good at it or not, as long as you're honest with yourself. So.
Okay. So you're with me, though, in saying that interning and experiencing youth ministry firsthand is more important than college.
I would, but those Bible classes, there is a ton of value in that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking for a while that there might be an OC job that I was going to get a while back. And I know that they offered one free class, and that was one I would consider taking just because of how beneficial it is, not only for your life, but if you care about working with adults or teens, honestly, it's always good to dive into the Word, because the closer you are to God, hopefully the closer you can bring people to God. And so I do think those Bible classes are great.
Yeah. Yep. That was a really deep first topic.
Super deep.
We got real deep, real fast.
We'll go to the next topic, which is Skylar, so I'm going to jump to him. And it, yes, I'm just going to pretend you didn't say words. And Skylar, go ahead and tell us your topic.
For my topic, it is a little light but heavy all at the same time. My topic is, if you were a superhero, I've been watching Daredevil lately. If you're a superhero, at any point or for any reason, is it okay to kill a person? Another person, or is it just never okay? Is there never a situation where that's acceptable?
So, yeah. if you're a superhero, is it ever okay to kill somebody?
Yeah, or can you think of a reason, or would you just, as a superhero, it's never acceptable under any circumstance?
Yeah, my answer to this question depends on who I am as a superhero. Am I me, or am I, like, do I have my personality and my faith and stuff?
Yep.
I think if you're a superhero, it's probably not okay to kill somebody. Like, as a Christian, I don't think we've talked about that. This would be an interesting topic for us, but I'm a pacifist. I don't think that it is correct in Christianity to commit acts of violence in order to solve means. So I know a lot of people who are Christians would disagree with me and would probably lean more towards just war theory. But because of that, I think if I had superpowers, I would maybe use force to stop people, but I could not justify killing somebody. If I am a Christian and it is my duty to put other people above myself, then how can I take their life so that I don't die?
Like that, that's a good point. That makes
sense to me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't think I could do that. I mean, now for other people, that's really hard though. Like, if they're about to kill a bunch of people and it's either kill them or, so spoilers, end of Superman basically. So
do you risk it though? Man of Steel. There's a way that you could possibly keep them from killing everybody, but you're risking that.
I think that was the point of the end of Man of Steel, was he had tried everything in his power to stop Zod without killing him, and so he had to kill him at the end, which is why he was so upset about it, because he didn't want to kill people. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I would, if I'm in a situation where it's literally I've tried everything in my power to stop them without killing them, and I can't, then yeah, I kill him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a point where it becomes okay.
Yeah, if they basically force me into it.
Okay.
Then it's them who killed them and not me. That's what I'll say.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. I was just curious what you guys thought. Oh man, that's a really
hard question, Jorge.
What you got, Craig?
Two things came into my mind. What kind of superhero am I?
Do you mean like two things came to your mind, like the number two, or your girlfriend two came to your mind?
Solid question.
Your talk friend.
My what friend?
Your talk
friend. Oh, I'm so sorry. Your talk friend.
Oh, yeah. You can't call her my girlfriend. We discussed it. I confirmed it's okay. So
wait, you guys have the DTR?
We're Facebook official if she had a Facebook. So,
what?
My first question. See how I didn't say it? Okay.
You're
first
welcome, question by the
was,
way.
What kind of superhero am I? Am I like Daredevil where bullets are going to hurt me? Or am I like Superman where I can rewind time by flying around the earth? Two.
I think you're not a man.
You're not invincible.
I'm not invincible. Okay. Two. What kind of supervillain am I fighting? Because
maybe not just a supervillain. It could be any person.
If it is a regular thug in me, and for some reason I am just basically Batman without the gadgets, because I don't understand what powers I have.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a shot at trying to stop the person while risking my life. There's going to be a better chance of me willing to die before me killing that person.
Yeah, that answers it. It was just, is there any situation possibly
what if you are literally okay. fighting Satan?
I don't know, that's a tough one.
Well, you are in a hand-to-hand combat with the devil.
I mean, there's another question, right? Can you pray for your enemies and pray for the devil since he is your enemy?
Oh.
Tough one.
It's a hard one. I think that's for a different night.
Yep.
That's a different question.
It's a different topic, Satan.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to ask additional questions.
Unless that's where Craig was going to go with his train of thought, in which case we'll have to go there.
No.
No, Craig wasn't had that.
I just think that I would rather risk my life than end someone else's, but if I cannot prevent them without ending their life from killing others, then I will end their life.
Okay.
So if he's pointing a gun at them and I have no way to stop them from firing the gun, unless it's shooting them, I would shoot them to prevent them from shooting someone else.
Yeah.
Or especially if they shot one person, they were about to shoot a second. Because it is hard to judge when someone is actually going to kill or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think, like, you shoot someone, you've wasted your chance, you get to die now. Because if that's the only way I can stop you. Now, if I can, for some reason, get behind him and handcuff him or whatever, or if I'm Superman, because, again, I have no idea what superhero I am. Oh, it doesn't sound like I have any powers.
This is... My answer just proves that I'm not a pacifist. I'm a fan of just war theory. I don't know what to do. I don't know what this means. I don't know what to do.
It means that you're going to go be a soldier for the U.S.
This question just blew my understanding of what my ethical stance on a matter was.
That's why Skylar asked it. He likes to really make you...
It's tough. The reason I asked this question is because, one, I was watching that show, but two, is because I struggle with it sometimes on... If
you struggle with killing people sometimes?
No, with the thought of, is it ever okay? Is there a situation where if I am put in a situation where someone is trying to hurt my friends or family, then is it okay for me to fight back? Or am I supposed to trust that God will handle it if I put it in his hands and leave it? Or is he giving me the ability to defend my family, and I should be doing that? So that's the hard part is, you know, it's just really tough because, yes, God could stop anything if he wanted to. There's no reason why he couldn't. And if I had a strong enough faith, there's no reason why he couldn't do it. But is it wrong for me to waste whatever God's given me to keep that from happening? Yeah, hard. That's where I fall on hard. It. So I don't really.
What is your answer? You gotta have come up with an answer. What do you
think?
Do?
If I'm a superhero, I don't have a family or friends.
Okay, you're a superhero. You're a superhero, and you have Catherine, Lil Jonathan, Lil Craig to think about.
Then I'm probably not a superhero.
What? No, you have to be in this scenario. Lil Jonathan, you are.
Lil Craig. They're gonna have superpowers too. You're gonna pass them along.
Rough. Yeah.
You're telling me if you get bit by a radioactive spider, you're just going to stop talking to Jonathan and I. That's your plan? Or are you just not going to act on it?
Here's my question, actually.
I don't know. It's tough.
Skylar, at what point do you tell Craig and I that you have superpowers? Because I'm pretty sure that I found out that you were engaged to Catherine by Facebook. So, my question is, when do you tell us you have superpowers?
I don't know.
You better check your Facebook again, Jonathan.
Yeah. You're going to announce it on there? Would you tell us? Do you tell us or do you not? Do you try and keep us safe? Is that the plan?
I guess it depends on the situation.
Okay, you're bit by a radioactive spider.
Oh, I mean on whether I really have anything to fear for you all. I don't know. I've watched a lot of situations go bad whenever people know about what's going on.
That's true.
But I always get frustrated when they don't tell people. So I tell you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to have support.
Yeah. I couldn't do it on my own. So,
all that to say,
I'll be your night nurse.
Oh. Okay.
Apparently Jonathan and I are going to always push you to kill them. Apparently that's what we found out about both of us.
Not yeah. always. If the situation arises, you guys will be real about it.
If what that guy do? He robbed a bank. Kill him.
If you can solve the problem in any other way, even if it's 1,000 times more difficult, then I would go that way. But if there is literally no option.
What if he has to, like, finish a puzzle or kill a guy? I pick killing the guy.
Craig doesn't do puzzles.
Puzzles are the worst. I mean, you're screwed after the corner pieces.
$2. The dogs are being kind of rough.
Alright, well, that was my question, and I'm sure it was really satisfying for everyone to be put in a situation where they didn't have a good answer.
Great. Perfect.
So, are the dogs being distracting? Can you guys hear them?
They're very loud.
They're a little loud.
Do I need to put them in their room?
I say kill them, but no, that's just based off of our last topic.
Sorry. If they can handle it out there.
In their room? They'll be fine. They'll handle
Craig's
it for like
Craig's going to announce his question. Okay.
Then I'll come back and ask what it is again.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we're going to record while he puts up dogs. Listen, I mean, if we have a listener and they listen through this, they're really dedicated. So
yeah.
If you're listening to this and you finish this whole episode,
we thank you.
Instant message us on AOL and maybe you can be on the podcast with us. So my topic is...
What did you talk about while I was gone?
I was complimenting our listeners being willing to sit through that, and I told them that if they want to be on the podcast, if they want to join us on the podcast after they listen to all of this, they just have to instant message us on AOL, and we'll let them on.
Okay, I'm going to go back to 30 minutes and listen at that point on and see if that's what you said or not.
We'll find out.
So my topic is, if you had to pick one personality trait, you could even say one physical if you want to go there, but I wouldn't recommend it. One personality trait that you want in a woman, what is it? And also, I assume it's going to be this way for all three of us, but spiritually focused is important to all of us. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. So that one's taken care of.
Yeah. I want to leave that out.
That takes care of a lot.
I don't have an answer anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no. Shoot. I just wanted a nun.
I picked my new one.
Who's starting it? Who wants it?
Jorge's ready.
I want her to have lips, like, instead of not lips.
Okay.
Why don't you want a girl without lips? What are the lips for?
I don't know. I'm afraid she's going to teeth at me. You know, like...
our listeners really got that.
They can imagine what I was doing with my mouth. You just kind
of
open it.
That makes me think of a nun. That's weird. I watched this movie that a friend recommended where a nun didn't have teeth, and she was trying to gum somebody.
Oh.
Yeah, like attacking them, trying to
bite
them.
She can have no teeth. I just need her to have lips.
Okay.
I don't want her to... I would rather her gum at me than teeth at me.
I thought you really liked teeth, Jorge.
I do. Those are both very important.
So what you're saying is you need a woman with teeth and lips? Or you're willing to compromise?
If I have to pick one, which you suggested, yeah. I gotta go lips.
Okay.
I also said it didn't have to be a physical trait, but that's fine.
Well,
Skyler,
I picked spiritual, but then you were like, no spiritual, to say something stupid, like lips.
There are other personality traits other than spiritually focused.
Well, I'll think and maybe...
Well, like, that just covered a ton of...
Yeah, if they have lips, they basically have everything else he's looking for, so... What do you got, Skyler?
For me, it would be someone who doesn't like to make me guess about a lot of stuff. They're willing to tell me the problem whenever they realize there is one, instead of waiting for me to figure it out, because... I'll be honest, I'm pretty terrible at that game. I failed it a lot of times. A lot.
So you're talking about if she's frustrated with you about something, you want her to tell you what it is.
Yeah, I want her to tell me right away. Instead of letting it build up, just right out the gate. Hey, why'd you do this? Or,
yeah.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
I will say that in the relationship I had, that was the case, and it was very nice. That whenever we were frustrated, we would express it immediately.
There you go.
It was very good. We had very good... I'm convinced that we were communication rock stars, and we were in the top 1% of communicators between couples.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. We were very good. Our conversations were very long because of that, but We were very good communicators.
And she had lips.
She did have lips.
Perfect.
She didn't have teeth, though.
She did have teeth. That's incorrect.
No, I think I'm right on this one. So, mine would be... and I don't know why this is, but I can't even imagine being in a scenario or dating someone who didn't feel this way, but they need to find me funny. Because whether I am funny or not, I make a lot of attempts to be funny, and if they don't laugh, I'm going to be real bottom hurt over it. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. I'll be like, why do you make me, I'll feel terrible, because I'll try to be funny.
What a phrase. Bottom hurt.
Bottom hurt, yeah.
Second off, I think it's funny that your trait that you want in a girl is actually a trait about you.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
Like, the trait that you look for in a girl is actually just reinforcement about a trait that you want to have.
Exactly. And I know that's super weird. I don't know why that's the one that came to my head, but I just can't imagine being in a relationship where she thinks I'm not funny. That seems super weird and not doable to me.
Just from talking with you about some of your past relationships, I think that's something you notice pretty fast about a girl when you go on your first date with them, is whether they find you, they get your jokes or not. It's something that you always mention, like, she didn't really understand what I was saying most of the time, so.
Yeah.
It's not pretty good.
And I think if you look into it a little more, humor is what I'm about. Like, I only watch pretty much comedies outside of superhero stuff. I'm comedy focused. That's all I care about is comedies on TV, movies, whatever. And so if she doesn't get my sense of humor or find me funny, there's a good chance that we don't connect on that level, and that's a big part of me.
Wait. But what if she doesn't think you're funny?
But likes the stuff I like still?
No. But you think she is the funniest person you've ever met, and she is funnier than any comic you have ever seen on TV before. She's literally the funniest person on the planet to you.
I don't think I would date her.
Even if she didn't think you were funny.
It depends.
So on some way, you guys would connect in comedy, but it wouldn't be your comedy.
A lot of the things Craig finds attractive, he doesn't find funny. Phrase that the other way. A lot of the things Craig finds funny, he wouldn't find attractive. My mistake.
Craig and I are looking bewildered at each other right now.
Yeah, I was super confused by your words. I was just trying to, as Skyler would say, soak it up.
Yeah.
But I could not soak for the life of me. I could not give that up.
Unsoakable.
So. Yeah.
You might say. That's okay.
But I get what you're saying once you said it
the right
correct way.
Yeah.
You're saying that things that I think are funny, I wouldn't necessarily find them attractive.
Okay, so like if a girl pooped herself, that's funny. But
that's
not
super
necessarily
funny.
It doesn't make you want to date her.
And also slightly attractive, but not enough to date her.
Oh.
So that was a plus. But he might not.
Not all scenarios, just that one in particular. You think.
Okay, so girl, you're on a date and she just starts drooling. That's funny to you.
Yeah, it's funny that I would not want to date that.
Okay.
That sounds like trouble.
Maybe female version of Jim Gaffigan. I think that's probably best.
That's right up my alley.
Back in.
I'm wearing black because it was easier than working out. That's what he says. And that's a good sense of humor right there. It does just seem to be a girl Jim Gaffigan. This guy's got it right.
Do you think you would find that attractive, though?
That's... What do you mean, that sense of humor?
She would joke about your kids all the time?
If she just always talked like Jim Gaffigan and she was never serious.
And she really enjoyed food, just like Jim Gaffigan.
Craig.
Enjoying food is good.
I don't know why I'm talking in this voice right now, but this is how we're going to have dinner. I'm girl Jim Gaffigan.
And she could talk for you, since he always talks for the audience. She would just talk for you.
Why is he talking that way? That'd be funny. I would enjoy that.
Two, something to shoot for.
Act like Jim Gaffigan.
Does Two listen to our podcast?
I would guess no, but only because I know that she doesn't.
Maybe the first 5 minutes she gives it a shot and she just decides.
Two, please. Can she hear me?
Hold on. No, she can't. Mainly because she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh.
I will tell her to listen to this one if you leave her a special message.
What special message?
Well, I don't know. That's your special.
I thought you were picking a special message for me to leave to her.
Then it's not yours.
Okay, begin special message to Two. Dear Two. The end.
Wow, you are...
I'm not good on the spot.
I don't think she caught very much of that since we don't do video for our podcast.
We need to change that. People need to see when you squeeze your nipples and man milk comes out.
That's not a thing.
It's not a thing right now, but it's been a thing four times earlier in the show. It's never
been a thing.
It's actually squirted on the camera. We can't even see his face anymore. It's super gross.
Oh, dear.
Stop.
Well, yep.
Okay, so what was your topic again? Oh, I'm going to change my answer from lips.
Oh,
are
nice.
You sure?
Can we all do physical qualities? That'd be fun.
Well, my physical quality is she needs to have lips over not having lips. My unphysical quality is I want her, if spiritual is off the table, I think maybe the most important thing is somebody who is introspective and understands who they are and why they feel and think the way they do. I think that's really important. I think one of the biggest problems in our world is people don't understand why they think and feel the way they do because they refuse to think about it and refuse to spend time being introspective. And that makes me very angry as an introvert. But I wanted a girl who values that knowledge to the extent that she does that. And I think that is what leads to healthy communication. And that's what leads to being emotionally healthy, is being aware of who you are and why you think and why you feel the way you do. And doing that on a very, very consistent basis. And I think out of that comes awesome communication. I think out of that comes emotional healthiness. And I think out of that comes healthy relationships. So that is my most valued quality, is introspection and self-knowledge. Or as the Oracle would say in The Matrix, know thyself.
Pretty good. That's a good answer, Jorge.
It's fine.
I thought the Oracle said, what you talking about, Willis?
No, she said, and don't worry about the vase.
What vase?
That one.
What is...
And then she offered him cookies.
Then she got it. Get a cookie. You'll feel better when you're outside. That's not how the Oracle talked. I'm sorry, that's a bad accent.
Yeah.
So I kinda wanna go over Skylar's thing. The physical thing.
Oh,
since we got to hear Jonathan's physical thing, I wanna hear Skylar's.
Feeling left out, huh?
I wanna hear Skylar's really
bad.
So
you mostly wanna do this to hear what Skylar has to say.
Exactly. I will tell mine only because I want to hear Skylar's super bad.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Get it.
Man, that's really tough.
Do you want Craig to go first, Skylar?
No, I want him to go first.
You know, on the radio they have this term, or this saying that dead air is bad, or something of that nature.
Does it cause trauma? What about awkward air? What do they say about that?
Awkward air is good, I think.
I think that is good. I think awkward air is healthy.
Is it because our society is becoming ADD?
What?
I don't know. Okay.
You're changing the subject. All right,
Craig, why don't you go and let Skylar think?
Well, I just want the listeners to know that I have actually tried to talk about this with Skylar before, and I don't think he enjoys sharing this information. Am I right about that?
It's a struggle. I don't know.
He doesn't
feel bad about pinpointing everything because it doesn't work out well.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't think that quality is important on every single girl. I think that each girl is made up of so much complexity that putting it down to, I look for a girl that has really nice this, that doesn't work for me.
That's fair. I would still say that even with my favorite physical quality of women in general, another woman could be beautiful without it.
I disagree. I think that 100% of the time, girls with lips look better than girls without lips. Sorry. It's
just How many girls have you seen without lips?
Zero girls in person. Zero girls. But my imagination is very clear.
How clear? How many times have you thought of this?
Is it kind of like The Matrix when he loses his mouth?
No. It is not like that. It is the opposite of that. Imagine that instead of going, and he doesn't have his lips anymore, instead it's peeled back, and it's just like teeth.
So like, he lost all of it.
Like Hellboy, Rasputin and Hellboy.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So you wouldn't date Rasputin?
No. I would not date Rasputin.
Just when I thought I knew your types.
I bet he's very introspective.
I don't think he was, on account of all the orgies that he had.
Wait, which Rasputin are we talking about?
The historical Rasputin now.
Oh, we were on Hellboy for a little bit.
Well, that Rasputin was based on the historical Rasputin, but that apparently the historical Rasputin turned into a supervillain.
Yeah, he was made out of sand, so I don't think he was doing any orgies.
What? Nope. What?
I mean, it's not made out of sand.
It was.
That was a different guy.
I understand what you're saying. There did seem to be sand that came out when he was hurt.
Really?
I feel like he wasn't made of sand.
That was Rasputin? I thought Rasputin was the other guy.
No, Rasputin was the guy with the
suit.
The suit and the nipple twisty metals.
The dials. Yeah.
Yeah, the dials. And then he...
Who was the main bad guy then?
Who's the main guy?
Who's the main bad guy?
I don't remember his name.
I thought the main bad guy
was Rasputin. Remember what the main bad guy looked like.
Because the legend of Rasputin is that he never died because he was, like, castrated and hung and his head was cut off and all kinds of stuff and went to the bottom of a lake. And the legend is that he never died. And so that was what the movie was playing off of, that regardless of what you do, he never dies.
Mm. Yeah.
Weird.
Made out of sand. Kill sand.
Let's get back to Skyler's revealing. Answer.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll go based on what I noticed first about females and just people in general. The first thing I notice is hair. And so that's what it is.
Hair?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Really let down. Can we get like a unofficial, not recorded answer after the podcast? Because I feel like it might be different.
Tim. Is there, like, are you saying you prefer hair over no hair?
Or that's a hard one, too. I bet there are plenty of girls that look good without hair. Man.
I feel like you're just telling us the first one and not actually what you enjoy them, or what's, like...
What was your original answer? As in, you look at the hair to say, man, that girl's got some hair. Or, that girl, her hair is not good.
No, wait, what?
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, Jonathan, you sound like Skyler a little bit, just a little more dumb. So, the hair thing, is that just the first thing you notice where you might judge good or bad? Or is that actually something that you say, she should have it because if she has it, I find that attractive? And not just hair, I mean good hair, because if you're basing it off of hair and no hair on a woman, that's really weird.
That's what I was asking, but Craig, you said it better. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just what I noticed. It's really hard for me to pick that stuff out.
But whenever you're ready, we're being recorded, so you need to lock it in, bud.
Okay. Yeah. I noticed the face first.
Face?
Yeah.
The face. Now, that is not one feature.
It is. It's all inclusive.
Can you tell us some details on the face that you would say should be there for it to be more attractive than less?
I'd say eyes, nose,
lips. Yeah. Nope, stop it. Stop it.
Rather, eyes are not those things.
You're not helping, Jonathan.
Eyes are pretty good. I'll give you that one.
How many chins? Two? Three?
No.
Four? It's four chins, ladies and gentlemen. We found the number.
Four chins.
What is it, Skyler? Come on.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a really hard question for me.
You said that the eyes are a very important part of the face, though.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know. I feel like it tells me a lot about that person whenever I look at their eyes for some reason.
Skyler, what do my eyes tell you about me?
You're a little sleepy.
Not sleepy.
Oh, no, that's loneliness you're seeing in there.
Oh,
hi, Jonathan.
Is it, you I think mistook, that's sleepiness. You mistook sleepiness for loneliness and sadness.
He's actually got a ton of energy. He just has no one.
I have a lot of energy. But no one to share it with.
Yeah.
Oh.
Excuse me. With which to share it.
Oh my.
Did you guys watch the last
Yeah, banner? We did. That was a good one.
Didn't she have? Was that the one where she went back to that in one line? I thought it was really funny. I love it when she does that. It's really good.
So since Skyler said his, I guess I'll say mine. And I'm a dude, okay? I know what I like and don't like, and I'm not going to be like, really, the first thing I see is their personality through their eyeballs.
Skyler's answer is really funny. Sorry, if it was something else, I would tell you.
All right, I'm going to trust you on that. Mine is actually being slender. I don't expect them to have any certain body type as far as, like, they don't need to look like a model, but I need to know they care about their body enough.
Okay.
And so when people are overweight, I've been there, and I know that, at least for me, and usually for most people, that it's just not caring about your body. And so that is something that I look at, and if they are, I'm not saying they have to be super slim, but they need to look like they care about their body as far as weight.
Okay, that's fair.
And I don't want
so
that
they don't have to be super fit. They just have to look as if they're making an effort, because
exactly.
That's important to you.
Yeah, because we're supposed to take care of our bodies. It not only, I mean, spiritually or otherwise, you should care about your body. It's what you're in, for goodness sakes. But I spent most of my life not caring about my body, and so in a sense, I didn't care about myself for a while. Mm-hmm. And so when I made that change, I realized I should value myself more. So when I see women that don't do that, or men that don't do that either, I just think, man, they probably just don't care about themselves enough to change that. And so I see an outside thing as more of an inside issue. And so that's what I think of.
Mm. Okay. So because you really value taking care of your own body, you see that as very valuable when girls find that valuable as well.
Yeah.
I used the word valuable too much, but you got it.
That's a good call.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I guess we're done. We're going to wrap it up.
Skyler, do you have any? Do you want to leave a special message for two before we sign off as well?
Honestly, you could say anything. It's bound to be better than Jonathan's. So
can I try again?
Nope.
I'm going to try again.
Nope.
Dear two, the weather is nice here. The dogs played today.
Oh my goodness.
Bye.
Yep. Awkward's better than silent, Craig.
Skelly, you got a message you're going to leave?
Two. I would recommend to you something that I've been trying lately. You should shower in the dark.
Hold on!
Fourth topic! Why are you showering in the dark?
It's more efficient. It saves electricity.
It's not more efficient.
You are actually showering in the dark to save electricity?
Yep, and that's my message to two. You should probably try it too, Jorge.
Do you know how hard it is to live with this guy sometimes? Like, I just get confused at
okay.
what he does.
Okay, wait. I'm calming down. To be fair, you do take 3-hour-long showers.
Yeah, it's not as long. It's like...
Well, not in the dark, I bet.
It's true. It helps.
What is the most difficult thing about showering in the dark? Is it finding the soap?
Knowing how much shampoo you've put in your hand.
Have you found that you get more soap and shampoo in your eye?
Nope. Because I can keep my eyes closed the whole time and it won't be any different than if they were open.
Okay. Never mind. Don't need that as a fourth topic.
Can you tell me how long your showers are?
They're around 20 minutes
right
now.
That's not even close to true.
It is. I might spend a while drying off in the
Yeah, he's in the bathroom for a solid hour.
At least.
Nah, it's been shorter than that.
No, it has not. It's definitely an hour.
I got in the shower at 8:10 tonight before the podcast.
You did not get in at 8:10.
I did, and I was out by 8:45.
Wow, turning out the lights has doubled your speed.
Okay, that's very impressive. That's not normal. I'm worried
about the quality now, but the speed has increased.
Oh, the quality's still good.
Don't say that. That's weird.
Well, before he was, and I believe this is what you have said. I may not be saying it verbatim, but you try to scrub all of your skin off. Is that correct?
Nope, that's not correct at all.
Oh, what do you scrub? Why do you scrub 7 times?
No, I put soap all over my body, then I scrub it down.
But you scrub really hard.
Nope. I'm just OCD, and so I have to get clean, otherwise I freak out. But the hard part is I find out how to get cleaner every time, and so that just gets added in on top of everything that I've been doing already.
So over the years, you have a long list of how to get clean in your head, and it just gets progressively longer and longer.
Yep.
So can you tell us a couple of these things on your list? Like, what name number three on the list?
Number three of what steps happen?
Of how to get clean, something that you learned to get clean. What was the third thing you ever learned about how to get cleaner?
The order in which you scrub yourself, which body parts go first. That was really important. Wow. And it changes all the time.
Is it bottom to top or top to bottom, Skyler?
It actually fluctuates on which areas I find the grossest. But the armpits go last now because I worry about
what?
The deodorant getting all over my body. Even just the little bits of it, yeah.
Man.
Oh my gosh. If you didn't need to go to the doctor for your sickness, you need to go for your OCD. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I'm clean. I feel good.
Oh my.
But, showering in the dark too. Try it out.
Nope. Please don't. Don't go backwards. No.
That'd be a good name for a band. Shower in the Dark.
Oh, I like that. Can we make a band?
I fell into the pit.
It's not too late to change our podcast name. You guys want to be the Creek Hamsters that shower in the dark? That's too long.
We could just be Shower in the Dark.
Maybe we could podcast. We should podcast twice a week. Once as Shower in the Dark and once as the Creek Hamsters.
What would the structure of the other podcast be?
Where we come up with answers and we have to guess the questions for them.
Yeah.
So wait, can Skylar come up with all the answers?
We'll never get it right. We'll never get the question right, ever. Is the question, what is the meaning of when they ask you, would you like more fries with that at McDonald's?
No. I think that showering in the dark should just be our own created noises for meditation.
For when people are showering in the dark.
Perfect.
This is great.
Get a new variation every week.
I don't even know what you just...
Now, maybe before we go, there's one more thing we should potentially talk about.
Meditative music is what I was talking about.
Do we... Like,
maybe you're feeling dolphins one week, Craig, and you just want to do dolphins for everybody.
Can you give us a preview? What does dolphin sound like?
You thought showering in the dark was intense. Imagine hearing that when you're in the dark.
This doesn't sound like dolphins. It sounds like Craig laughing like a maniac.
Do it better!
I can't. Just because you do it bad doesn't mean I can do it better.
Oh, well, you can't put me down if you can't do it better.
All right, here we go.
Perfect. Nope. Man, we are just moving in the right direction.
That wasn't it. I thought we were supposed to get better in our podcast experience.
Solo round.
I think we're falling further.
But here, my question was, should we or should we not have an intro theme song before each one?
If we're voting on it, I really want that song... that Skyler loves. You know which one I'm talking about?
Because every time we touch, I get this feeling.
Nope.
We can play that for a solid 5 minutes before.
Oh, no.
I think it'd get me in the right mindset.
Well, that was the original plan, if you remember, on the first podcast. No, we talked about having that be our intro song.
And I'm really glad we didn't.
Well, it's not too late. Episode 10, we'll hit double digits and we can change that.
We could...
I guess you guys can do Creek Hamsters and I can do Showering in the Dark podcast by myself.
You just record the noises of you actually showering in the dark.
I think that Catherine probably wouldn't appreciate that very much.
Why? What's wrong with the noises?
What are people going to get out of that?
It's just too intimate. Nobody's supposed to be able to hear that.
How is that intimate?
Skylar, I heard you for years showering. Those doors were paper thin.
Oh no.
Catherine's going to break up with you now. You been sharing that stuff with other men? Hey, can I ask, we need to end this, but one more thing. I wanna ask the...
Do you have a message for two as well?
No, I'll just... I have a connection to her.
They're done talking.
Called phone.
That's right, they're done talking.
Nope. I want to know Rotten Tomatoes percentage on Avengers 2... Based on your opinion, don't look it up.
Okay.
Based on your opinion of what it'll be, what do you think it'll be?
I've said it for a while. I think it will be my...
Give me a set number, and we're going to stick to it.
I'm going to say between 82 and 84. From the commercials, I'm going to say 84.
No, 84?
84.
Okay, Skyler?
Give it a good 78.
Ooh, and I'm going to go with... I don't want to hurt you too much, Jonathan. I don't want to make your number too small for, like, your gap of being right. So I want to say 88.
Okay. We're going to look right now. A lot of the scores are... the reviews are up because it's been out in Europe.
Wow. Way to go, Europe. I thought we were the first always.
Avengers Age of Ultron. 80% currently, which is great. That's good. That's a good movie. That is good.
But I want to know for next week, too. We're going to look at it next week and we're going to see what changes.
Yeah, America.
America.
This is out of 61 reviewers so far.
Not enough.
Do Europeans use Rotten Tomatoes, or do they use something European?
Well, they don't use deodorant.
I think more people now use Metacritic than Rotten Tomatoes anyway, but we don't use Metacritic. And if I were to tell you a number on Metacritic, it wouldn't make sense to you because the numbers are different. Like, on Metacritic, the movie has a 72, but on Metacritic, a 72 is awesome. Like, that's really good.
So they top out at, like, 80?
Yeah, like, 80 is off the charts good.
Cool.
So it's got a 72, so that's awesome. So Metacritic, it's got good scores. I think it's going to be a really good movie. I wish that someone else had directed it and that Joss Whedon had written it still. But that's okay. That's fine. Yeah. I don't get everything I want. Next time, they'll get it better.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Guys, that's it for episode 9. We'll see you next week if for some reason you decide to listen to us again. Bye.
Bye.